So now, Teresa, you know I grew up in a great big quirky Southern family.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, my grandmother loved cemeteries, and my mama did too, actually. And they dragged me around every cemetery in the 50-mile radius. And, you know, we went to every funeral and burial there was, I think, in town. And, you know, my grandmother loved a garden, and she loved to take cuttings. She'd have a pair of pruners and a Ziploc bag in that black pocketbook of hers she would take to the cemetery. We were just liable to come home with a cutting as not. So you know how that all those types of stories and folklore just kind of go hand in hand with Southern life. But you yourself have had some cemetery encounters, haven't you?
Oh, I have. The one I'm going to tell you about today is, I have to tell you for sure, if I live to be 100 and I visit 100 cemeteries, my New York cemetery story will always be my favorite. And part of that is the reason I was with my daughter, and anytime I'm with her and we're walking around New York or any place, it's going to be memorable. But, you know, we have in our garden a rose that spans four generations of our friends and families and at least three states. I was trying to think of how many states, but at least three, maybe four. So this is the historical, an American iconic yellow rose that most people know. It's Harrison's Yellow. So on this hot summer day, my daughter and I were in New York walking through an area near Trinity Church. Beautiful area. There's cemeteries in there, and all the cemeteries are decked out with roses and flowers and really works of art. It's beautiful to see. But when our rose friend, Stephen Skin Yellow, found out we were going to be there, he wanted to join us, but he couldn't. So he called me on the phone, and he said, I'm going to direct you to a surprise location. So he did. We took his direction, and we went inside a cemetery outside Trinity Church. Beautiful place. So we rambled around, and we came upon a familiar name, George Follett Harrison. He's the hybridizer of Harrison's Yellow Rose. And we just stood there, and we felt like we were visiting the gravesite of a family member. It was just very special. Now, oddly enough, Harrison's Yellow was not planted by his gravestone. There was a red rose, I don't know the name of the rose, but I kept thinking, oh, we need a Harrison Yellow Rose here. But there wasn't, but it was just a very special time.
My goodness, that sounds like it. Now, today's guest, Connie Hilker, loves to poke around cemeteries, and she loves old roses, and she's going to be here to share some of her adventures with us. Y'all stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Connie, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hey, Teresa.
Connie, it's so good to have you. And today the sun is shining. We've been having very, very cold weather, but the sun is shining. And I have hope of spring, and I bet you do too.
Oh, spring. Yes. Can't get here soon enough.
Well, Connie, today we talk a lot about roses and their stories, but gardeners have stories too. And you have a rich story. And so today we want to hear from you. So tell us your rose story.
Ooh, my rose story. I don't do this very often, so let's see where this goes. I've been a gardener for my entire life, but I only found roses within about the last 18 to 20 years. I lived in the shade before then, and we all know that roses don't grow in the shade. But I'm a history geek. And I love stories, and I love the history of people and places. And somehow I came across the history of roses, and it was fascinating. And I read everything I could get. A few years ago, a friend gave me a copy of Thomas Christopher's book, In Search of Lost Roses. It's a book about interviews that he did with people who have been rose rustlers, who tell the stories of the roses and the people and the places where those roses come from. And that was fascinating to me. And I had this dream that maybe one day I would grow up to be one of them. And one of the people that Mr. Christopher wrote about was Reverend Doug Seidel, and he was a speaker at an ARS district meeting years and years ago, and I had the opportunity to meet him, and we hit it off instantly, and we became very, very good friends. And Doug, if you've never heard of Doug, he was in the forefront of hunting cemeteries and finding roses, and not just taking cuttings and propagating them, but he would document what he saw there. And he wrote articles, and I read everything I possibly could. And here I am with this man that I adored from afar. Doug was generous with his experience and his advice, and his friendship was extremely important to me. He died a few years ago, and I miss him very, very much, especially in the spring when the roses start to break and the flowers start to open, and I have questions and I can't call him anymore.
Oh, we all have people like that. You use the word generous. I want to be a generous gardener. I believe that mentorship is just one of the most valuable tools. And there's just no better way to learn and grow. And I'm so glad you had fabulous mentors. I know for me, I would not be the gardener that I am without the ones that came before me and taught me. So sometimes when we're talking about these old garden roses, we hear the word extinction. It's a horrible word. But is it true that many roses will be extinct if we don't lend a helping hand?
Oh, absolutely. I tell people that extinction is forever. If something is truly extinct, it is gone. There are, in my reading and in my experience and my talking with people, there are roses out there where there may be only one or two documented plants out there. I have a few here in my garden where it's the only plant I know of. In that case, I have made a point of hunting down other rose gardeners who might want to have that rose in their garden, who would also preserve it and propagate it and share it so that we can hopefully prevent extinction from happening, at least for that one plant.
Well, we in our garden have stories, roses with stories that we want to be sure that they're there for our children and our grandchildren. So, thinking in terms of extinction, you know, it sounds serious, but it is. So we all need to do our part. And I'm sure after hearing your story, we're going to have people who they're going to want to start doing some rose rustling too. So what would you say to them?
It's one of my favorite things to do, but there are most definitely rules about it. Number one, always remember that if you come across a rose or another plant, it very well may belong to someone, so you have to ask permission first. That's foremost. And really, all of this is just about courtesy. But ask permission if you possibly can. If this is a plant that's out in the wild and it's obviously neglected and there's no one around to ask, I take cuttings anyway. The most important thing is to leave that plant in better condition than when you found it. So if you take a few cuttings, very few, snip the dead and trim that plant up as if it was a plant in your own garden. Improve it. Take notes. Record information about where you were, what you were doing, where this plant was growing. And take photographs because it may be important. There are a couple of plants that I can remember off the top of my head that I have taken cuttings from that the next time I went back to check that location, the plants were gone. So the cuttings that I took and the photographs that I have are all that remain from those plants. The most important thing about rose wrestling is don't take cuttings unless you're reasonably certain that you're going to have success with them.
Just the words "take cuttings" could be scaring some people. Many will have their own way of doing that. But if that is you and you're listening today, we do have Connie's way of taking cuttings. I've got that on my blog, and I will put a link to that information on our show notes. She's got a pretty much foolproof way of taking cuttings, so you don't lose these roses that you're trying to take care of. So look for that in our show notes. Now, Connie, for those who want to buy old garden roses, where would you send them?
When I'm looking to buy roses, the first place I go is to the website Help Me Find. It's really the best resource out there. It's so comprehensive. You can look roses up by name, find out where they grow, all the details about them. And in this case, you find out where you can buy them. There's a tab at the top of the page that says buy from. And I fully believe that we need to support nurseries and buy roses whenever we possibly can. Two of my very favorites, and they're my go-tos if I'm looking for a specific rose, is Antique Rose Emporium in Texas and Rose Petals Nursery in Florida. I know both of the owners personally. I know they send quality plants, and I know they care about what they send to people. So I have no reservation whatsoever sending people to those two nurseries. But there are others out there. And if you find one online that offers the rose you're looking for and you're unsure about it, give them a call. Talk to the owner. And if you get a good feeling, go ahead and buy it.
That is so true about buying from nurseries, because if we don't buy from them and we aren't using what they have, we're going to lose them as well. So we do want to participate and give our business to, even though we can start some of these roses ourselves, we definitely want to give our business to the nurseries.
Oh, absolutely. I agree completely. Even if I do have access to a plant that I want, I don't take cuttings. I will buy it if I possibly can, just to support the nursery, because that goes along with my preservation message. We can preserve the roses, but we also have to do what we can to preserve the people that sell the roses so they'll continue to be available.
So there's so many families of old garden roses, but since today is Connie's story, what's your favorite family?
That's always fun, because when I'm out doing programs or I'm out at rose events, it's almost as if people are taunting me. They say, "And what's your favorite rose?" as if I didn't have one. I very quickly reply, Mutabilis. Mutabilis is without a doubt my favorite rose. It is big, it is carefree, and those five-petaled flowers that change color as they age are absolutely irresistible. Now, that's a China rose. It is hardy really only to about zone 7. So only your listeners in the warmer zones can appreciate Mutabilis. But my second favorite rose is one that just about everybody who's listening to this could enjoy. It's Shaler's Provence. I learned about that one because it was actually the very first rose I ever rustled from a roadside. There was an old house with a bulldozer in front of it, and I knew that whatever was there was going to be destroyed within a very short period. So I took my pruners and I put on my boots and my gloves and I explored, and there was a rose growing out of some poison ivy. It was obvious that it was a rose from the foliage and the growth habit, though there were no flowers on it. So I took some cuttings and they rooted, and the next year was the most beautiful lilac pink flowers. It took a while for me to finally put an identity on that one. Some of these old roses, you just have to put them in front of the right person, because the average modern rose grower's never seen them before. And we discovered that was Shaler's Provence. And it's a tough survivor. I swear you can't kill it. It blooms once in the spring, but it's the first rose in my garden to start blooming in the spring, and it's one of the last to finish at the beginning of summer. Very few thorns, fragrant, it's absolutely perfect. I hope I've convinced you.
This always gets into my pocketbook. Every time I talk to someone, it gets into my pocketbook because I start making a list. There's just no other way around it. When I hear a story, it doesn't have to be my story, but I fall in love with the story. So I'm sure there's many out there that are looking for their pencil and their pen right now. Thank you, Connie.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I was online this morning looking up roses to order for Hollywood Cemetery, and I made an order of 8. But fortunately, that's somebody else's money, not mine.
Well, we do, now that you've mentioned Hollywood Cemetery, we do want to talk a little bit more about that. Tell us about your work at the cemetery.
It goes right along with my love of history and my early rose rustling experience. Back in 2012, I heard that Hollywood Cemetery was looking for someone to manage their rose collection. A little bit of background. Hollywood Cemetery is a very early cemetery designed in the rural garden style. It dates from 1847. It's 135 acres. And the idea of garden cemeteries was that they were supposed to be a respite from the bustling city. And it was a natural place where people could go and a beautiful place to be buried. The main concept of a garden cemetery is for it to be a garden. So there are trees and flowers and shrubs and green space to be enjoyed.
As you talk about this, I'm thinking, I haven't been to Hollywood Cemetery yet, although I do plan to come. I'm thinking of the cemeteries that my daughter and I walked through when we were in New York City. There are several, and you saw roses and beautiful plants, old-fashioned flowers, just works of art, really.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the beauty of cemeteries, is that they are works of art, whether it's through the design of the cemetery itself or the plantings that are there or the monuments. It's just wonderful. My job at Hollywood, it's been to document the roses. I don't do the actual work on the roses themselves. What I started with was I needed to determine where the roses were. It was 135 acres, so I worked with the grounds foreman, and we found all the ones that we could find. Identify them if I can. Some of them took quite a while, because on the spring bloomers, you really only have a short window of opportunity to get there and see the flowers in addition to the leaves and the growth habit. And we've identified most of them by now. And most importantly is to develop a plan with the cemetery staff to care for these roses in the best way they possibly can. We have a work day every spring. It varies. The roses always tell us when it's time to do this. We gather volunteers. Usually there's about 20 or 25 people that join us. And the idea is to spread out across the cemetery with their maps and get those roses in the best shape possible for the growing season. Pruning, weeding, mulching, the same sorts of things that we would do in our own garden. In case I've tempted anyone, full bloom at Hollywood Cemetery, it's Richmond, Virginia, is usually around the first week of May. Some of the earliest roses will start at the end of April, and it'll be a beautiful show all the way through almost to Memorial Day.
So tempting. So I'm going to say to you, keep working on that guest room, because you never know. I'm going to pop in. I really am.
I told you, this is your bed. It is yours. All you have to do is say, come pick me up at the airport.
Well, I appreciate that. And friends, if you don't follow Connie on Instagram, you should. She's had all winter long, she's had all kinds of projects going that are so fun and fascinating to follow along. And we'll have those links so you can find Connie on our show page too.
Yes, in wintertime, it seems kind of disorienting because my account name on Instagram is Heartwood Roses, and roses rarely show up in the wintertime. It's usually pets and house projects and whatever else I happen to be doing at the time.
So it's been a full winter. I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that.
Well, our time together is coming to a close. This has been fascinating. It has added to my list, of course, as it always does. And Rose friends, we're so glad that you joined us. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.